It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People will ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Rolling along here on a busy Friday. Busy, I mean, guest list wise. There's not, like, other than the World Cup, there's not a whole ton popping in the sports world on this summer Friday. But we are keeping things rolling along here into the 4 o'clock hour with our buddy Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline to pour over more off-season moves and moves not made in the NHL. Paul, good afternoon. How are you, buddy?
I'm well. How are you today?
I'm good. Are you? You That's are going good. To see some music tonight. Is that right?
Well, I had a choice between Little Big Town, or which I've seen quite often, or the Femmes of Rock, who I've seen a couple of times. So I decided to go to Art Park with the Femmes of Rock, who are. It's a very, very unique show. Very enjoyable show. It's, I think, the third or fourth time I've seen them, and I've liked them every time.
All right, excellent. I have a suggestion for you, and it involves a band. I think I send you, I've mentioned this band Grosh to you before.
Yes.
Local act.
I've started looking for their, so I'm going to get there at some point. I started looking for when they are playing and if it matches my schedule.
They are playing, they do this a time a year or so, I think. They're doing a Zeppelin tribute set tomorrow night at Sportsman's Park. Actually, that's like 5 o'clock, I think, 7 o'clock showtime. So, yeah, tomorrow night, which is adjacent to the Sportsman's Tavern on Amherst Street in Buffalo. And highly recommend to Paul or anyone else out there. I know you're going to a concert tonight, so maybe you don't want to do the same thing. But really cool scene there. $20, bring a lawn chair. There's, you know, drinks and food trucks and whatnot. And they will absolutely kill it. The guitar player, Grace, is one of the best guitar players in the city. The vocalist, Megan Brown, is tremendous. They're great. Highly recommend that show for anyone out there tomorrow at Sportsman's.
Well, my schedule opened up around 11 o'clock this morning. I was supposed to do something tomorrow, and unfortunately it kind of changed where I wouldn't be able to do it. So it is definitely a possibility now, right, where it would not have been had my schedule not opened up.
Let's put it on the list. All right. Enough of that, Paul. So I put up a poll earlier today. These things we know are not scientific. What I think you and I are in agreement here. The number one center spot on this team, the Sabres, I think, as much as I want to get excited about Yuri Kulik coming back, and I like Josh Norris, I still think, like, Dylan Larkin would be the prize if you could somehow make it happen, but I don't think either of us are optimistic that it will. So I don't know what to do about it, but I think objectively, if I were looking at the Sabre roster right now, I think that would still be the thing that I would be most focused on them lacking, is, like, someone that I can count on to be a point-a-game guy and play the games. Like, I think Norris could be close to that if he could play all the games. We'll see about Cooley coming back off a year off. But, man, I think that's still the biggest hole I see on the roster.
Yeah, it is. And I see Larkin now has expanded to four teams.
Dallas is on the list.
Yeah. So,
congrats.
And I think if he wants to be traded, he probably is going to have to expand to more than four teams. So, you know, the Buffalo Sabres obviously are not on his list yet as far as a team that he'd be willing to go to. That doesn't mean they would not eventually be on that list. That's the guy right there that I would be looking at. Of course, I'd be interested in Robertson, but not at $15 million a year. I just don't think he's that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely overpay for Dylan Larkin if that's what it were to take. That's the guy I would overpay for. But he has to loosen his – that's the thing. You want to be traded, but you basically are telling the Red Wings, yeah, but – here, I'll tell you where you can trade me, and good luck with
that. You want the team to untie your hands while you tie theirs with the same rope, basically, is what Dylan Larkin's trying to pull. And the other thing that's really interesting about his situation, Paul, like, a lot of these things that come to a head, it's, you know, a year or two off. Like, Werenski hasn't been traded yet. We'll see if he ever does, like, during this cycle, I mean. But he's got 2 years left, but there's concern that he won't re-sign. Tkachuk was the same way in Ottawa. Like, it wasn't at the deadline yet, but it was, yeah, I'm not going to engage in another contract with you guys, so you should just get the best deal you can now. And there's leverage in that. There's power in that. Larkin has 5 years left. Like, I think that makes it very tough for him to give them so little to work with, because I think his leverage is really lacking.
No, I agree. I mean, and, you know, the other teams have a salary cap they have to, you know, abide by also. Does the team that he wants to go to have cap space? Or do they need a centerman, even though he's a very good centerman? Are they all set at center? Is he a guy maybe they really don't need? Maybe he thinks he needs to go there, but they may be looking at going, well, you know, thanks. You're a great player, but we're all set as far as that goes. I just think it's not for sure, but I think it's a pretty good possibility. He's going to have to loosen things up a little bit if that's what he wants to be traded. Otherwise, he's going to wind up another year with the Detroit Red Wings, and how will that roll?
Yeah, and I wonder how much that changes even in another year, because he'll still have 4 years left next offseason. And, like, I think it's a weird – he's gone about it in a strange way, I guess I would say.
Yeah.
He doesn't have
leverage. Call your teammates when you've basically said, I don't want to be here anymore, you know, but you're stuck here and you're they haven't traded you, and here you are on opening night, but you've said you don't want to be here. You know, how does that go over?
Yeah, no, especially for the captain, right? I mean,
yeah.
just a tough scene. Paul Hamilton on the West Hur Hotline. So, I had this poll, like, what the Sabres need. Simple question: the Sabres need, right, number one center, veteran replacement for Tuck, a goaltender upgrade, or, like, trust the kids. Those were the choices. And a couple of people replied to me, like, hey, you left off the most glaring one, which is another D, and I think you and I are in agreement here. I think they're done with their defense corps right now. Like, right? I mean, I think Zellweger and Crevier, I think, are nice adds. You and I have gone back and forth a couple times on who's going to play where. But either way, like, those two guys are in their top six, I think. And I like the Zellweger bet. And Kekalainen even said they like the potential of him replacing some of what Byram gave them, if not all of what Byram gave them. So I think the decor, I'm buying that. I think that's a good bet, Zellweger especially, and I'm intrigued by the Crevier kid too.
And if you have an injury, Metz is around still, and he showed us last year that he's just fine in the National Hockey League. So Metz is around. Timmins is a penalty killer. I'm not extremely thrilled with him at 5-5-5, but, you know, see, so you got the two of them too. So, yeah, definitely I agree with you that defense. I saw the early part of your poll. I don't know if it's changed. I know goaltending was the number one thing at the time. I think people are a little too crazed over how bad the goaltending is. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's my opinion. I don't think it's as bad as some people let on that it is. Again, I'm not saying that Hellebuck can't return to form after one bad year. He might. We don't know. But he did have the one bad year, so we don't know if that means he's on the way down or if it was just 1 year. And that's an $8.5 million bet that you're making, that it was just 1 year if you do acquire him, plus whatever you have to trade to get him. Lukanen was better last year. It's simple as that. Lukanen, I think too many people forget what he did for a long, long period of time from December, both Lukanen and Lyon, from December towards the end of the season. And even in the playoffs, I mean, they don't win the game in Montreal that they had to win without him. I mean, he was great in that game. And game seven, I didn't mind him either in game seven. I thought he was fine. I just don't think he's as bad as people make him out to be, and I think there are a lot more problems on this team than Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
Yeah, goalie upgrade is slightly edging out number one center, 33.5% to 32.7. Vet replacement for Tuck is 23.3, and then Trust the Kids, not surprisingly, lagging in fourth place at 10.4. Yeah, you know, the goalie thing to me, Paul, has largely been like, I think when we started pondering the offseason and what moves could get made and started sitting with the possibility that Hellebuyck might be available, I was mostly a no. I don't want to spend the assets. I don't want to spend the money at 33 years of age. Like, I'm just not sure. But we get through like the draft and free agency, and you know, Robert Thomas isn't getting traded. Dylan Larkin isn't on our list. You know, we couldn't find a way to acquire Matthew Knies to replace Tuck. I end up sort of settling on, well, I guess I could try to upgrade goaltending. And I'm not sure the Sabres view it that way, but that was the pecking order for me. And I feel like I'm sort of left with my last resort type thinking, all right, try the goalie thing. Because I want to do something, I think. And I don't know, that probably isn't good process.
You're right. In my opinion, just the thing of let's do something, and then you know do something that, and again, you are trading for a goaltender coming off a bad year. Simple as that. And again, it might just been 1 year, but do you want to take that chance? I mean, are you really improving your goaltending? Might be. Then again, you might not be. And then you gave up those assets, and you're stuck with an $8.5 million goaltender, which I'm not crazy about either, to upgrade a thing that I don't think is as bad as people make it out to be. So, I am still in the camp of that's not the direction I would head in unless the Sabres could get him for a song and maybe Winnipeg could keep some money I don't know. It just. I think it's an awfully big chance on a guy who also has not been a playoff performer recently. And, what has he done for – I mean, Winnipeg were the President's Trophy winners. Having the best goalie in the world get him?
Yep. Agreed. And I've said quite a few times this week that, yes, you know, in 13 playoff games we had it was Luukkonen, then Lyon, then Luukkonen again, then Lyon again, then Luukkonen again. It was a little scattershot. But in the regular season, the two of them, plus really even Ellis, like, I think it was a strength of the team. Like, they rated very favorably in goals saved above expected, both guys. Mm-hmm. Lyon more so than Luukkonen, but Luukkonen was certainly very good in that regard too. So it's one of those recency things, right? Like, I got to do it in the playoffs. And in the playoffs, they were, you know, each guy got pulled multiple times. How much do I want to trust it? So I think that's really circles you back to the conversation, even having legs at all. Paul Hamilton on the West Hur Hotline with us. All right, I said we were going to spend some time on some of the other teams, and I'm sure you've prepared diligently for that. Let's just quickly, Florida, I think Florida is going to be back. They made the huge move to get Brady Tkachuk. They're betting on Jacob Markstrom, and that might be sketchy. Talk about goalies, right? I don't know how that'll work for them, but they're going that route instead of staying with Bobrovsky. I think that's a team that'll be right back at the top of the Atlantic again.
Yeah, and Schmidt is also going to be in goal for them from Vegas, so those are their two goaltenders. Markstrom, 2 years ago, you would have said, oh, good job. You got a good goaltender there. But he's had a couple of years now that have been subpar. We all know Brady Tkachuk. The problem with Brady Tkachuk is he sits in the penalty box too much. I mean, and I remember saying this with Brian, anytime they played Ottawa, I go, this guy sits in the penalty box half the night, taking stupid penalties. And then against Buffalo, he would take the dumbest penalties, and you're just like, what are you doing? You can't take that penalty as the captain of this team. They need you on the ice. They do not need you in the penalty box. You know, does he learn that in Florida? I don't know, but and then, you know, it's like, well, and then after that, let's goon it up. We got to get Gudas and Hathaway.
Yep.
Let's get back to the 70s and the Broad Street Bullies and everything. So, I don't know. Markstrom is definitely a question mark.
That's the biggest question mark, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, where does he take them? If he plays like he did a couple years ago, they're going to be in good shape again. Plus, you know, the guys that they've gotten back that didn't trade for, that didn't play hardly at all last year. You know, their captain is back and he's huge to be in their lineup. I mean, absolutely huge. Barkov.
Yeah.
I mean,
and even was back enough to play. He played in the World Championships. Hellenius was on a line with him somewhat frequently, I think.
Of all those other guys I mentioned, Barkov means more to them than any of the rest of them do.
Yeah, I agree too.
You know, so yeah, that's for Florida. I mean, and I got Tampa Bay right under them. You got three defensemen who are 35 years old and older, but you picked up Carlson.
Right.
What has he got left in the tank? We'll see. You know, so, and they really haven't done, they got Radish, but again, that's an offensive type of defenseman.
Well, they moved him to Toronto.
They moved him, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's what I meant. Carlson for Radish.
Right.
I just misspoke. So.
That's a bet. I'm all right with that bet.
Because Carlson's a better defensive, actual
all-around
defenseman.
Player, yes. Right. I think, and Radish, I'm not down on Radish. I think Radish got paid about what he should get paid off of the year he had, and even if he regresses to like 15 goals and 50 points, I think $8.5 million, like that's the going rate. I think Toronto did all right there. But Tampa, I like the bet for Carlson to at least bridge the gap for a bit here and see what's left there.
But how much better did Tampa get by getting Radish? I don't know.
To Toronto, you mean.
Toronto. I'm sorry, Toronto. I got Tampa on the mind. How much better did Toronto get by getting Radish? I mean, they also got Bobrovsky, but we don't know what that's going to turn into. If it's what it was the past year or so, not going to turn into much. And then McKenna, you don't know what a first overall pick. Some of them start off and are really, really good. Some of them need a little bit of seasoning before they're really, really good. So, yeah, you got Bobrovsky and you got Radish and you got McKenna. How much better does that actually make you?
Yeah, they did remake their bottom six. I think they'll be faster and maybe defensively a little better. But, yeah, I'm not worried about them. Like, I started with Florida, and you brought in right into Tampa, which is fine, because those are teams that I think I expect to be battling at the top. Toronto, I think, is still behind the Sabres here and maybe behind everybody else, too. Like, I don't think they've improved enough to be a team that's even in the wild card mix. I mean, we'll see how it shakes out. I'm curious about Montreal. I feel like they maybe have been a little bit quieter, it feels like. But you know,
very quiet.
That's okay. I mean, they've got a lot of really nice young players there who've already played. Like, you know, they decided to pay Demidov. They've got a contract already for Hudson. They paid a goalie. They paid Dobis, although I still think the other guy's going to be better than him, Fowler, in the long run. So Montreal's mostly – they're more like the Sabres. They're sort of standing still here. But I still like a lot of what they've got there.
Yeah, they took the Kevin Adams way of doing things. Sign your own, which is what they spent the offseason doing. And they did. They signed them to reasonable contracts. You know, so really didn't do much else other than that. Gallagher wasn't playing anyway. So, you know, he's gone. I believe he went to Vancouver, if I'm going by memory here. And
that's right.
They basically went with the model of, these are our players. These are the guys we like. These are the guys that got us where we're going to go. They're still young. Let's get these guys signed. Let's get these guys part of the group now. And that's been their off season so far.
Well, we know we already covered Tkachuk leaving and going to Florida, and we talked about Florida. Ottawa, it feels to me like, is in a, I don't want to say tailspin, but I mean they were forced at gunpoint to trade their captain.
Right.
I just think that's going to be hard to recover from in 1 year, I think.
I do like William Eklund. I think that's a good get for them.
Yep.
They still have Stützle and Batherson. Giroux's back. Shane Pinto's a nice player. Dylan Cousins, whatever you want to say about him, he put some points up on the board last year. He had the year
we were waiting for him to have again last year.
He put some points up on the board last year. So they still have those guys. They got Sanderson at the blue line. I'm not crazy at all about Ersson. I don't know why they thought that was a good idea. But I guess they thought it was a good idea. But I do like Eklund. I thought that was a good get for them.
And the Bruins. I've been waiting to talk to you about the Bruins, Paul, because I heard you on draft night after the trade they made with Utah to pick up Paterka, and you were just, I mean, guns blazing on J.J. Paterka. Like, tell us how you really feel is how I felt sitting in my truck. It was one of those I parked, and I was just sitting because you were just going, and I'm like, I got to hear all of this. And, like, I get it. I mean, it obviously didn't work. I mean, holy cow, Utah traded Josh Doan and Kesselring for him, and then they just bailed out after one year.
And then
year.
They signed him for what, seven, was it 7.7 somewhere in there?
Yeah, it's over seven, and it wasn't long, maybe 5 years, I think. It's not a big, long deal, but still, they made a commitment and just pulled the chute. All that said, I love him. If Boston can stand his defensive shortcomings, which is a lot to say, I know, I think he'll score 35 to 40 goals playing with Pasternak. I think that is going to be excellent for them.
He better get to 40 with as bad as he is defensively.
Yep.
I mean, he can score 30, but I have no use for him as a 30-goal scorer if he doesn't improve. As a two-way hockey player, because he absolutely kills them. He killed Utah last year to the point where they took him out of their top six. It's like, surprise, where do you guys have scouts? Do you actually scout a team before you stupidly trade Doan and Kesselring for some guy? I mean, what is wrong with you people? But to their credit, they got out from under what might have been the worst trade in team history. Plus, I'm including Arizona too, as well as maybe the worst contract you wrangled in team history. Somehow you got out of it and got first round picks out of it. So I'm like, okay, good job. Yep. I'm impressed that you admitted your mistake, how bad it was, and I'm very impressed how you got out of it.
I want to get some action with somebody on him scoring 35 goals. I feel like that's my floor on Paterka. So I like that for them. I was not really bullish on them having staying power, watching them play the Sabres. But, you know, Hagans might be someone to really elevate. And I'm as I've already said, I'm pretty bullish on this Paterka idea. I think it's gonna work out for them. So I'm treating them like they've improved. I think the Bruins. I like what the Bruins have done, even though you hate Paterka. So
I just don't think he's ever going to learn.
Yeah. Well,
you know that he goes to another team and he's still the same guy.
Try this
on. And the other team's like, yeah, we got to get him out of here.
Yeah. Right. No, I know it looks bad. Try this on. I got a buddy of mine that I see at the bar I hang out at. He's Boston Chris. He's from Boston. He's a Bruins fan. And I saw him last weekend, and I said, you know, man, I love this Paterka trade for you. He's like, German coach. He's betting on Marco Sturm, who's a legend in Germany. Like that will bring Paterka. That'll be the come to Jesus on defense meeting for Paterka. And I don't know. We'll see if that works. But one other little piece to throw into the stew for you is maybe the coach. Maybe that'll get Paterka to like dig in and play some defense.
Maybe it is a point to make. You know, having a German coach who can show him to believe in him. Look at what Granato did for Dahlin. Basically, wouldn't say a bad thing about him. It didn't matter if he was any good. Granato, every single time he went to a podium, talked about how great Dahlin was, whether he was or wasn't. And Dahlin really, really appreciated it. And he really got him going. And I give Don Granato all the credit in the world for that.
Do we need to talk about Detroit? We kind of did already, right? When we talked about Larkin,
did
we don't know what's really going to happen there.
Kane's gone, and Will Borgen's on defense for Boston too. So is Clifton. They got a couple of three former Sabres. That's basically their moves.
I wasn't prepared to bring those up as ideas that are helping them, Paul.
Will Borgen will help them. Well, he's a pretty good defenseman.
Okay, all right. Well, enjoy your concert, and maybe you can make it down to the Sporto tomorrow for Grosch.
Yeah, no, I didn't know about that, so I'm glad you put it on my radar.
Put it on the board. I won't be able to make it. I have plans. I'm spoken for tomorrow.
But it is an outdoor outdoor deal.
It's an outdoor show. Yes, there's a little. Okay. There's a park next door to the Sportsman's.
So bring a chair.
Bring a chair and some sunscreen. Yeah.
Awesome.
All right, Paul. Thanks a lot for this. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Take care.
That's our Paul Hamilton on the West Her Hotline. His appearances here on WGR brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax. We got this. We'll hit up a timeout here. I don't expect to take calls on J.J. Paterka going off in Boston, so we'll move on. But I will spend some time talking about what Paul and I talked about at the outset of our conversation here, which is the Sabres and, like, do they need to do something still? Like, they're mostly just – I think they've lost more than they've gained is how I would put it. I like the defenseman, but we'll get into it after this. 803-0550 if you're locked and loaded with an opinion or thoughts on the Sabres offseason so far. Now would be a great time at 803-0550. I am the Bulldog. This is WGR.
When I look at Buffalo now, I look at not the Tage Thompsons and the Dahlins, because I think you know what you're getting from those guys. It's the continued growth of Benson. It's the continued growth of Doan. It's Quinn. It's Hellenius. Austin looked really good before he got hurt. Kulik got hurt, missed time with the blood clots. Even Owen Power. Like, Power to me took huge steps last year. I was so impressed with what I saw in the playoffs. I think for that team, those guys have to continue to go, and the other guys have to make the same jumps that Benson and Doan have. That's how I think Buffalo gets better.
Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet with kind of an overall on the Sabres so far. 803-0550 is the number. We're going to pick that apart in a moment. Just want to share some news that is at least new to me. I don't know. I can't tell here how old this post is. All right, just within a half an hour here. The Dodgers have announced that Shohei Ohtani is going to miss a start tonight against Arizona due to continued irritation in his left knee. He's going to serve as the DH for the rest of the weekend. But following this series with Arizona, there will be what they're calling some interventions on his knee to put him in the best position for the second half of the season. So because of that, he is not going to be traveling to Philadelphia to take part in any of the All-Star Game festivities, which is kind of, that's a bummer. I'm mentioning it because he's, to me, transcendent in baseball and in sports. He's such an intriguing and exciting personality and player and performer that I will watch the All-Star Game, and I will miss Ohtani being there. It only means he was going to have one or two at-bats. Not that we couldn't have seen him pitching. I mean, I don't know if that was going to happen this year or not. Probably not. But nonetheless, kind of a bummer there that he is going to miss that. Okay, on the Sabres, I think I like the defense bet a lot. I think that it's a solid bet. And, you know, I'm listening to Friedman there, and I think, you know, we're in a position here where it feels like we might be sort of forced to make friends with the idea that nothing big is coming, at least not up top, not up front. I mean, I don't hear anything about that. I don't think that is something that is going to happen. I believe that they were interested in Matthew Knies, but I think that opportunity has come and gone. Robert Thomas got pulled back from the trade market, and there wasn't much question about his availability. It seemed very clear that St. Louis intended to keep him, which made plenty of sense. It was always kind of weird that he was being shopped to begin with. And I'd say that something can happen and that you can't get a guy that gets traded that no one's been talking about and surprises you, like, oh, there's my number one center. It's a very hard position to find and fill, which is what makes Larkin so intriguing and appealing. But unfortunately, he's choosing to only have now four teams on his trade list, and the Sabres are not one of them, and I don't expect that to change anytime soon. So, like, I was talking with Paul, almost by process of elimination here, I've ended up at, okay, well, the forward isn't coming. I did what I needed to do on defense, and I, you know, they could have done something bigger, I suppose, with a bigger name that was more familiar. But I do like the bets they've made on the blue line. I think Zellweger moves around the ice well enough and has a good enough offensive toolbox that I think he can hold up playing with power. I think, I hope. I mean, we'll see. I mean, last year at this time, we thought Michael Kesslering was going to play 20 minutes a night with Owen Power, and that never, ever, ever, ever got off the ground. I mean, it just did not happen. So that was pretty much the end of that. The fact that really what happened there mostly was that Samuelson ascended back to top pair caliber with Dahlin, moving Byram off of that and putting him with Power, and then they took off, and the four of them just had a great year. I think Zellweger offensively can hold that up, and there are some defensive shortcomings to be worried about, but frankly, those were there with Byram too. So I think it's a good bet, and I like the Crevier idea, the big kid with the hard shot, as a fallback for the top four, and who knows, maybe he wins the job. I don't know. Paul and I have gone around and around on left hand, right hand, and that maybe Crevier will be someone that gets paired with Power. We'll see. I'm certainly open-minded to that, but I like the Zellweger bet. So I don't think I need the reason I left supplementing the defense corps off of my poll when I made it today, because I just don't think they need another guy there. I think they're good with sort of trying to bridge their way to whomever ends up still being here. Kleber, Mertka, and we'll see how long it takes Rudolph to show up, the kid they just drafted fourth overall. He's going to play at the University of Denver. Kleber might be a name that is somewhat unknown to Sabres fans because he was a second-round pick, and he's been playing in college, and he's just not someone that I think – casual Sabres fans, or even more, you know, less casual, like more like big fans. Not sure how many people have been thinking about him and anticipating him, but he was the defensive defenseman of the year playing at, I think it's North Dakota State, and in the conference, he was the defensive defenseman of the year. The first time a sophomore has ever won that award, by the way. He's going back to college. Paul's got a piece up at WGR550.com telling you all this, but I'll just give you the cliff notes. He's going back to college in part because he says the Sabres have told him to work on his offensive game. And so he's gonna try to put work in there and try to shore that up. But right now, he's looking like, you know, next year at this time, it'll be okay, Rochester, or can he win a job? I think I know Mertka's going to go to Rochester this year, and we'll see how long he takes to get here. And then, again, Rudolph said he wants to play 1 year. He's open to playing two, but he's hoping that he can get the development in he needs at the University of Denver, super powerhouse program. I mean, they'll be in the national title chase for sure. And so he'll get big minutes, probably important minutes, and maybe even high pressure, high leverage, you know, championship type minutes, which will be a great experience for him. And maybe he's someone that's in the mix next year. But either way, they did not need to make a move for Darren Radish. They did not need to trade for Morgan Riley's contract. They did not need to commit resources, assets trading away, and cap room for a defenseman to replace Byram. I think the bet they're making is that these two guys, one of the two, I think both are going to play, Crevier and Zellweger. One of the two takes that spot, and that they still are able to function. I'm thinking mostly about the offensive zone when I talk about this, by the way. Especially that's why I favor Zellweger for this spot, is because he's got that part of his game. And so I'm up for that, and it's why I did not want to go any kind of big game hunting for a defenseman. Like, I was never interested in John Carlson. I've loved John Carlson as a player his whole career, going all the way back to when he was playing World Juniors for Team USA. I've liked his game a lot. I just didn't need to commit resources there. Although that would have been a short-term deal. Maybe that would have fit a little better than something with longer term on a contract. But nonetheless, I like the bets they've made on defense is the point. So I seem like I'm locked out on forward, right? And I didn't need to do anything more than what I've done on D, which leaves you at goalie. And, you know, that still seems like a situation that Winnipeg might want to get relieved. And it felt like maybe things were close enough that we learned that Hellebuyck was willing to come here, willing to waive his no trade. That to me, indicates that there was some real, maybe some fire even, not just smoke, behind a deal getting done there, but it didn't. For whatever reason, they were not able to get it done. And as I've mentioned a few times, things got a little more complicated for them because no trades kick in for guys on your roster now, like Lukanen. And if he was included in that trade package, who knows if that's something that now he's able to block, and does that complicate things? Can you put together a package that doesn't include him? Maybe you still can, because the pressure point here, like, I'm all right if they don't do anything now as far as the goaltending goes, because I don't think the goaltending really hurt them, certainly during the regular season, and I don't even know. To me, they didn't lose Game 7 because the goalie was bad. It was a bad-looking goal that I think Connor Hellebuyck or Sergei Bobrovsky or anybody, Dominic Hasek's given up that goal. So knuckleball, what are you going to do? It looks bad, but I don't think it makes the goalie bad necessarily. So the tandem was excellent for them last year, and I could see running it back. So if you can't get a deal done, I'm not going to throw a fit or anything, but I am going to sit back and go, where have I improved? Even if it's marginally, where have I gotten better? Like, what's going to be better for me is just the hope that, like Friedman was saying, all the kids, like they all take a step, and that replaces cumulatively what you were getting from Alex Tuch. And look, maybe that works, but it doesn't feel like they're handling the offseason like the contender that they were. They allowed themselves to lose Tuch. They chose that. I mean, they could have kept him. They could have paid the freight. You want to defend them not doing it? Okay. But they're making a bet on guys who've played, just not a ton of hockey yet in the NHL. And especially you think about Kulik up top and Norris, and what am I really going to get there? I like Norris's game a ton, but I have so little reason to believe he's going to play 60 games even. I mean, he just misses time year over year over year now that I go into the year hoping for 60. I think if I get 60 games from him, I might get 60 points. And that could really help, but I don't know, man. Like with him being injury prone, Kulik's got to be a question mark. I'm just a little bit more worried than I wanted to be about where they're at roster wise, which sort of circles me back to, I know trading for a goalie doesn't address those situations, but it does give you something that I think you can at least represent. This is where we think we've improved. Again, even though I don't think goaltending was a weakness, you could at least, we got one of the best goalies on earth on our team now. And just taking it at face value, like, okay, I can buy that you're telling me that that's going to make you better. You might be right. But there's just a little too much standing still here is really the point that I'm at right now. There just wasn't enough done. I just kept thinking there was going to be more. And I know I felt that same way last year after Paterka got traded. Well, okay, well, what's next? And the next never came. And what happened is Josh Doan fell in our laps and became like a folk hero in half a season. He's got a new contract and he's a cornerstone. And so, maybe that happens again with what they've got in the pipeline here. We'll see. 803-0550, if you want to get in on the conversation here. Are you desperate for some sort of move here that represents an upgrade to the roster with the Sabres? We'll shift the football at the top of the hour. Shift, I said. Aaron Quinn from Cover One will be with us in for the 5 o'clock hour, the top of the hour segment. So do stay tuned for that. Mike is away this week. I'm the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.